to the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Monday night show of the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and join me as always, Stevie Fizz. Steve, how are you, pal?
If my voice is a bit raspy, Jono, it's because I've been yelling back at Baby Fizz. Baby Fizz has been grinding my gears over Melbourne beating Collingwood today. It's a little bit hard to stomach. hard to stomach the baby getting in here.
Just sticking it to you already at an early age.
Oh, my God. It's two up on me already.
Oh, yeah, they have played twice too. Ooh, it's going to be a long rivalry going there, I think.
Well, I'm looking forward to NFL season because I've already got its Colts jersey.
Who does Baby Fizz go for in the NFL? Still the Colts?
Oh, it's got to be the Colts. If it wasn't Colts, it'd be out of the house.
Okay.
I can wear the Demons because Mrs. Fizz is a member of the Demons and she's got the Demons gear. And if you're on Twitter, Baby Fizz has got its photo up in its Demons gear, which is just horrific, mind you. Yeah, the baby's two up on me.
Not good.
No.
Bit of news, starting from a bit of news coming out this week. I'm going to start with a bit of a positive note. As we saw today, it was the big freeze at the MCG, all money raised today for motor neuron disease. And by about three-quarter time, the good public had raised $2.2 million. And they had the federal minister, Susan Lee, on, and she said they're going to match every dollar raised up until midnight tonight. So great stuff there, looking for a cure for motor neuron disease.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you watch the people going down the slide?
I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That's good. Did you notice that someone got a really big shove. It was might have been Dave Hughes. It was like they were trying to kill him on the way down or something.
Hughes or Eddie McGuire, I can't remember.
No, Eddie got a soft touch, you know.
Soft touch.
I think Hughesy, because Samantha Armitage went up before Hughesy and they were pretty delicate with her, which is fair enough, but
yeah.
They just went, well, we went a bit soft there. Let's heave it all into Dave Hughes and try to destroy him.
Well, only Shane Watson. I mean, he's soft as butter, so not really going to be too much power there.
It was interesting. I saw Shane Watson was a Freeze MND ambassador, and I was like, Shane Watson is more like a Freeze LBW ambassador.
Oh, like you get a review on that one.
and hey, I hate cricket, and I came up with that.
Very good.
Yeah.
But no, I do know that Shane Watson's father did pass away from MND, so it was good to see him out there.
Yeah, good on you.
But in more bad news, this is going to be a bit of a sad news segment today. Kirk Tippett, if you're an owner, which I am, out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. It was kind of weird watching the game last night that they were poking and prodding around the knee. I reckon it's like a tendon behind the knee for the hamstring. Like, seriously, I did not know that your hamstring tendon went that far down.
Well, it's got to be connected to something, and that's the tendon. The tendon connects the muscle belly to the joint, I guess, and that's bad. Man, bad. He was killing it.
He was killing it, so he's out right up until basically the first week of finals. So as a Tippett owner, I'm certainly holding him at least until their bye round, round 14, because we have seen players make these miraculous recoveries, so it's a bit of a wait and see at the moment.
Yeah, but God damn, did Cal Sinclair's value just go through the roof?
Well, once Tippett went down, Sinclair was absolute pus in that game until Tippett went down and actually scored pretty decent in the end.
Yep, role can change a player's value in an instant, and his just went through the roof, and we'll talk about him later in the waiver section.
Yep, and also in other bad news today, which came out late this afternoon, looks like Nick Natanui is going under the knife to relieve an ongoing Achilles problem, and he's set to miss 6 to 8 weeks there, so not good if you are a Nick Nat owner.
That's horrific, man. That takes you to fantasy finals if he misses the high end of it.
8 weeks, that pretty much goes to prelim, and Achilles, they're so tough to come back from, it doesn't matter which way you injure them, they're just hard to come back from.
Yeah, that's a real body blow for the Nick Nat owner. Whoever's got Lysette in your league, obviously he's been fantastic so far anyway, but he just increased in value as well. But wow, what do you do with Nick Nat, Jono, do you think? Do you just cut him?
With Nick Nat, I think you got to cut him. Achilles, we know, they're just a horrible injury, and they take much longer to recover from, say, a hamstring or any other injury, really.
Probably depends. We just say it depends on your position. I mean, let's say he misses 6 weeks, and you're in top spot in your league.
Yep.
Maybe you can carry him until fantasy, because there's no one who can replace Nick Nat, especially in Supercoach.
No, that's right.
So, yeah, probably a positional... probably depends on your ladder position, maybe.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And in other news, we've had big love for this guy all year long. We've revealed Trent Cotchin was in hospital for 2 days with a kidney infection, and then came out yesterday afternoon and had a massive influence in that last quarter to get his Tigers over the line.
Oh, what a star.
What a star. And for our listeners, if you look at a value bet, he's $67 to win the Brownlow this year, which is awesome value for me.
That's good value. We know he polls.
Yeah. As we've seen in 2012, him and Mitchell won the Brownlow, allegedly.
Whee! Hot fire.
Big fire there. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors. I believe, Steve, you've put up a few Twitter polls this week and a bit of a head-to-head in value picks this year, which we'll talk about a little bit later, or you can head over to facebook.com/thedraftdoctors and, again, leave us a question there for anything that you may be wanting to know.
Yes, very active on the Twitter, and get on those Twitter polls. And also the iTunes, if you subscribe, please, 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 if you're enjoying the show, if you're getting anything out of it, leave us a review. It really helps the show and helps us get more listeners, which is great.
Absolutely. And even also give us your feedback and give us what we might be able to change and make it a better experience for you guys.
Absolutely.
But moving on now to our studs and duds for the week, and starting off with the Bombers and Hawks, which was an absolute fizzer of a game, pretty much over by quarter time. Hawks winning by 108 points, but there's a little bit to get out of it. The Bombers, I'd like Day, Merritt, Zaharakis, Danaher, and Leuenberg, I thought were good for the Bombers. And Lewis, Gibson, Gunson, Birchall, Shields, and Bruce Poppy and Rioli, all good for the Hawks.
Yeah, I just gave it to the Hawks. I said the Hawks were fine. All the fantasy-relevant Hawks were fine. But yeah, Merritt, Matty D, and yeah, Joe Danaher, I mean, what a star, 10 marks. I mean,
yeah.
And a couple of early goals, really... good effort. Good effort, man.
Yep. And Louis, again, performing pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. That was surprising. We sort of thought McAvoy might be a chance to... Louis performed well the week before, but I thought McAvoy might have been better and been able to sneak a couple goals and boost his score, but...
But that's why he is in the dud section this week.
Yeah, really poor, man. Poor.
He's probably the only one that I had for the Hawks, and I couldn't really give too many to the Bombers.
I put Courtney Dempsey in for the Bombers. He's been pretty good this year. I know he, you know, wasn't a high draft value or anything like that, but I just thought he was poor based on what he's been doing.
Yeah, he has been a solid defender this year.
Yeah, yeah, we give Goddard a pass because his face got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. Man,
which is funny.
He's an ugly looking man, but he just got even uglier, I reckon.
It wasn't great. I feel for you, Brendan Goddard, a little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
But moving on to probably what was... Yeah, you probably call it game of the round. It was the Doggies against the Panthers.
Was it? Was it?
Well, like I said, could be game of the round. Like I know the Swans and GWS game was pretty good.
Mate, how about what was an absolute debacle and then turned into... epic. Richmond and Gold Coast.
That can't be considered game of the round. Two crap teams playing each other.
Well, I don't know. Richmond aren't that bad.
Oh, they're pretty
important. Anyway, dogs important. Anyway, you're all right. You're just such a homer. You're just such a homer. You have to get the dogs on top everything.
But did you watch this game? It was an awesome game.
It was a fine game.
I thought it was pretty good from both sides. For the power, I thought Ollie Wines, Robbie Gray, who generally doesn't score too well against the Doggies, was very good. And Jasper Pittard having an awesome season.
Jasper Pittard is a freaking star, and how he's not winning one of our value polls is... I thought he was going to win the whole thing, to be honest. But, oh, man, he's a gun. Good for you, Jasper Pittard.
And for the Doggies, the Bont continue on his fine form. Libba and Honeychurch in his first game I thought was pretty good, and so was Jack Redpath.
Yeah, I agree with all that. It's good to see they finally put Bont on the pill the last 6 weeks or whatever it is. And also throw in Mitch Wallace. Hello, Napoleon Dynamite? No?
Sorry, it just broke up for a sec there.
Oh, you got to agree with Mitch Wallace. He was all right, too.
Oh, yeah, Mitch Wallace, yeah. Vote for Pedro, people.
Mm.
And for the Duds, Wingard just went missing up until pretty much that last quarter and a half, I thought.
His scores weren't too bad, though.
Not too bad, but they could have been better. He was pretty quiet for most of the first half, though.
Yeah.
Matthew Boyd, well down on his efforts of recent, and... I'm going to say Lucky Hunter as well. I thought he would have destroyed this, getting all that outside ball in such a fast-moving game. And Matthew Suckling as well, but that's more Luke Beveridge's fault for throwing him forward. He's never going to get a mark in that forward line where he's been awesome taking those kick-ins from in the back half.
Yeah, there's one thing Matthew Suckling doesn't get, and that is a contested possession, like ever. How about Hamish Hartland, man?
Yeah, he's been putrid for a while.
God damn.
What is he doing?
I don't know. He was playing back. He was just floating. He was not getting a whole lot of the ball. Suckling's in there, but I sort of give him a pass because, you know, it's like being injured. If you're taken away from your role, you know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, what was the last 2 weeks? Been playing that... starting it from the back half with those good kicks of his, but no, nothing. Everybody thinks, no, I'll play him forward.
Anyway, whatever.
Whatever. But moving on to the Lions and the Frio Dockers. It was good for about a quarter, and then the floodgates opened up, and the Dockers ran away with it with Maine. As we know, statistically, plays very well against the Lions, did well again. Thought Ballantyne and Weller, Tabner was huge. Barlow, even though he was tagging, was also very good. And for the Lions, I thought Rocky, Cutler, Hanley, Zorko, and Bastanac, and also Robbo, who was tagging.
Yeah, no, I got all the same guys. I mean, geez, three guys with a bag of four and one with a bag of five. That's pretty good.
They were certainly pumping Tabner up, saying he's the Pavlich heir apparent. Going to be taking over, so it's good to see him get a clear run at it.
Hopefully, well, I mean, it's good because, I mean, look, if you stream forwards, and, you know, we tweet the chart out every Friday, key forwards against Brisbane are fantastic. Now, I didn't have the balls to roll with Tabernet against Brisbane, but if you did, you got handsomely rewarded. And, you know, they've got still got a couple of decent games. I mean, they've got Port this week. We know they've got key defenders out. And then they got Collingwood, who just got mowed down today.
Goals.
So, I mean, he's not the worst option.
No, absolutely not. And for the Duds, he's becoming a regular on this side, Steve. That's our boy, Steph Martin. Just, ugh. The bye cannot come quick enough for him and the Brisbane Lions.
I didn't know who you meant. It could have been Steph Martin or Tom Bell when you said regular. Because Tommy Bell's in there pretty regularly as well. But, I also had Lockie Neal who could shake the tag, and Mundy, unfortunately.
Yes, I had Mundy as well, and also Zach Clark. I mean, he's against two dud ruckmans. Should have scored better than that too.
Yeah, you would think so, but yeah, anyway.
But moving on to the others, the first Saturday night game was the Cats v North Melbourne. I don't know if you saw this guy, but he had a pretty average game, I would have thought was Patrick Dangerfield, just a lazy 230 super coach points and 184 dream team points. Pretty good effort by him. Selwood, Duncan, I thought Harry Taylor had a good one in super coach. Jimmy Bartel, Menzel, and Kirsten as well.
Yeah, I had all those guys, man. I thought Kirsten was, when they broke the game open, Kirsten was really a big part of that as well. I thought he was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and for the Roos, I had Gibson, Wells, and Robbie Tarrant.
Yeah, I'll also throw Boomer Harvey in there with four goals as well.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So, yeah.
But throwing him under the bus, Cam Guthrie had a bit of a quiet one. Reece Stanley, no good. Did he get injured? I can't remember. But also Nick Del Santo, Goldie.
Oh, man, you can't say Nick Del Santo.
No?
Nah, he was playing on one leg basically the whole night.
Did he get injured?
He got injured early. He was injured early, and you could see that he couldn't even run.
Ah, okay, I didn't see all the games.
He did well to do what he did, to be honest.
Okay, I'll scrub that, but I'm going to throw Goldie and Cunnington on the list.
Cunnington? Cunnington got injured as well in the first quarter.
I didn't see the first quarter. I was out.
He was injured in the first quarter. He couldn't move.
Oh, okay.
You're throwing all these injured guys under the bus.
So it's Goldie only.
Well, I throw Jared Waite under the bus. And,
man, he's been under the bus for a while, the last few weeks. Looks like that bubble has certainly burst.
Yeah, the last month hasn't been great for Jared Waite, but come on, man. It's our old buddy. It's our old sparring partner, Donuts.
Oh, Donuts. What the hell is going on?
I don't know, man. It's a month of down, though.
Just holding people. If you can get him in a trade, grab him. Because that finals, just hold him for the finals, and he'll come good.
Well, he can win you a match, but I don't know. He can lose you a match. I mean, they got Western Bulldogs in the first round of the finals. Do you really want him there?
Well, we'll see this week because the Doggies play Geelong this week, Saturday night.
But they got Essendon in the second week.
Lick those lips.
Who they got in the final? Brisbane. Ooh, maybe. Yeah.
In the other Saturday night game was actually a pretty good contest until the last quarter. Well, actually a good game overall until the Crows steamrolled West Coast Eagles over there, so a good win for the Crows. I thought Prittis was good. McGovern, the only ones I can really give a tick to be honest.
Yeah, I had Prittis and McGovern. They obviously scored pretty well. But yeah, I basically threw all the Crows in the good pile because all the fantasy relevant players stood up. And, you know, if the guys who didn't score, great. They're not particularly fantasy relevant anyway, so good for them.
Yeah, special mention to Matty Crouch, who's the last 2 weeks since he'd come back in has really grabbed the bulls by the horns and scoring really well.
Yeah, actually, Matt Crouch is an interesting one because I thought the first week with Thompson out, he might, you know, he was going to score well, but I thought maybe because Thompson was back, he'd drop back a little bit, but he kept it up. So, and against a reasonably good team, so that was pretty pleasing for anyone who snagged Matt Crouch off the waivers if they had him or if they held him. You know, it was a good effort.
Absolutely. And I can't really throw him under this, but you've got to mention his name. It's not looking good. Gaff still probably suffering some sort of effects from that big hit a couple of weeks ago against Port Adelaide. Just not his usual self this year or since that hit. Redden, I thought he'd be better than that. Lacroix, non-existent, and Lysette as well for me.
Yeah, look, I got Lysette, I got Lacroix. Redden's just a write-off at this stage. Gaff, man, we've said it so many... Well, like, Jono, we've spoken about it week after week. These guys with a concussion, they're just...
Just horrible.
They just fall apart. Like, if people don't think this is a real thing, it's a real thing. The output of these guys who cop these big hits just falls to absolute nothing. The fact that he's... Like, if I'm the Gaff owner, I'm trying to sell him at his regular worth, like, even below his regular worth, all the money, like, for anything. Like, I have no faith in him coming back to being the regular 100 averaging Andrew Gaff that he was. And also throw Tex in there as well. I thought Tex...
Yeah.
With Eric McKenzie being the laid out, I thought maybe Tex, you know, he's been in ripping Nick. But no. But we've spoken about Gaff.
Yeah, I've been texting as well. But yeah, we've spoken about Gaff and those injuries, and we saw it last year with Brody Smith and Luke Parker as well. The first two that come to my mind.
Oh, and well, our mate Steph.
We've mentioned Steph Martin this year, but I was just talking about from last year as well, the players who got concussed.
Oh, and 2 years ago, Wingard. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not good for people that own those concussed players, and we're both one of them, really. We both own Steph Martin in our respective leagues.
Yeah, we both own Steph Martin, but, you know, the guys who have been reading a dozen deals, the blog we're putting out each week, as soon as Gaff went down, bang, please sell.
Yeah.
Because you might get value anyway, just whatever.
But moving on to the early game on Sunday afternoon with the big lockout at the Etihad Stadium where no one could get in until after quarter time. Okay, who would have thought this game would have been a sellout? Seriously. But Carlton and St Kilda, where St Kilda just turned it on and absolutely destroyed the Blues. Jack Stephen just moonwalked his way to about 40 possessions and a massive score in both formats. Tim Embry, been getting it done ahead of Josh Bruce, I've got to say. Been really impressive. Montagna, Hickey, Ross and Nunes were also good for St Kilda. All St Kilda pretty much were good.
Yeah, no, I had all those guys. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, Jack Stephen, what a machine. But you're right, Tim Embry, man. I thought the Saints were heading into this game. I had no interest in tipping the Saints, but wow, did they perform fantastic. Rucks have been performing well against St Kilda, but Tom Hickey, wow.
Yeah, that was back to almost that first game where he scored 156 or whatever he scored, big numbers. But that was a good team effort by the Saints, and I think the only people who believed that the Saints were going to win were St Kilda and their fans this week, with Alan Richardson coming out saying, watch out, and no one believed him.
Oh, well, good. Hey, power to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the Blues, old man Simpson just keeps getting it done with his partner in crime, Sam Doherty, having a stellar year. Dale Thomas did well. And I thought Wright and Curno were also very solid.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you mention Daisy?
Yeah, I said Dale.
Yeah,
Thomas.
Yeah, all those guys.
Yeah. And under the bus, Gibbs and Cripps were very quiet for me.
Oh, I didn't throw anyone under the bus. I let these guys off the hook. I didn't think they were soul-crushingly bad.
They weren't soul-crushingly bad, but it's 2 weeks in a row for Gibbs. I know he was tagged the week before, but Gibbs, again, a little bit quiet.
Well, Cripps is always a victim of his own game style because he's based around the handball. So he's always a little bit shaded because of that, unfortunately. But yeah, Gibbs. Yeah.
You reckon there could be a Murphy affected scores there, or?
Oh, look, I mean, does the tag go to Murphy or does it go to Gibbs? I mean, it sort of coincides, doesn't it? But
yeah.
I think he's good enough to beat it, but he'll certainly benefit from Murphy being back in that team.
And I suppose you're going to see Carlton have a few down games as well, coming from where they are.
Oh, look, I mean, you know, everyone can be up and down.
Yeah.
Everyone can be had. So that's how it is.
And to the Sunday afternoon game, we had the Tigers against the Gold Coast Suns, where the Gold Coast were pretty good for three quarters, but just couldn't finish it off. Dusty Martin, easy three Brownlow votes right there. Cochin, again, after we mentioned before, he was in hospital for a couple of days there, was outstanding in that last quarter. Rance, Grigg, also having a stellar year. Shane Edwards was good. Hampson, very good in the ruck. And Jeru with a couple of late goals to seal the game.
No, don't give Jeru anything. Nothing.
No?
Give him nothing. Give him donuts. That guy did nothing.
Oh, just going off his scores there.
Well, the scores were misleading. Oh, and Deledio, mate. You left Deledio out.
I was going to say, I've got two more here. Deledio.
What about Deledio Ben Griffiths? Ben Griffiths, mate.
He's huge. Did you see that mark he took?
Ben Griffiths won me some cash money, Jono, so I'm giving him some love.
Man, you almost took mark of the year and then went back and staggered the goals. Great mark.
Yeah, I was pretty happy because that boosted me up into some money. But also also Ablett, and god damn, I had him on the bench in the listener league, but Tommy Lynch.
Oh, really? T. Lynch. Ooh, that's got to hurt. Snake four goals on Rance. Not many people do that. No. And our boy Tommy Nipples did well again. And I'm going to throw these two guys in. Matt Rosa seems to be a pretty good late pickup if you got him out of the pool after that injury he had. And I thought Reece Conker was pretty solid in his first game back.
Yeah, hey, great. Good work for Reece Conker. Really, really enjoyed seeing him do well.
Yeah, absolutely. They've put a lot of time, Richmond put a lot of time into him, and it was good to see him play some good football.
Yeah, good for you, Reece.
And I'm going to throw, it's hard to throw this guy, but I think Griffith's kind of gone past him this year because Vickery has just been a shadow since Griffith has emerged.
Ah, look, I was always a big fan of Griffiths because he's such a good kick for goal. But key forwards are going to be up and down, man.
Well, we saw last year Vickery was good in that second half of the year, kicking big bags and whatnot. So it's just, I guess it's Griffiths' time.
Yeah, I'm not throwing him under the bus, but you can. That's fine.
I said it was hard to, but Miles was down.
Oh, bullshit. You would have enjoyed it.
I hate Vickery.
Exactly. You see that big mop going under one of the bus wheels, you'd be like cheering it on. Be like reverse up over that.
And then drop it into neutral and throw it into gear again.
Exactly. I don't know what you're like.
But it's all. I also had Miles just thought a contested game like that, he'd be a bit more involved and pressed you well down.
Well, I think you've missed a few guys, Jono.
Took Miller, Martin, and Riscatelli as well.
Took Martin. Oh, I didn't think Riscatelli was horrible. Yeah, Steph Martin. Jesus Christ, what the?
Jack Martin.
Yeah, Jack Martin's in there. How about Nick Malcheski?
I did not have him on the list.
Ooh, well, he should be. He was pus. And Jesse Lonergan.
Ugh.
Wow, 30s? Thanks, buddy.
Good thing I threw him back in the pool.
Yeah, God, I actually thought it would have been a good game for him, but feel free to cut Jesse Lonergan any time now.
And in the last game on Sunday night, we had the GWS annihilate the Sydney Swans. Toby Green, Callum Ward, Heath George, just about all of GWS was fantastic. And hard to pick a few from the Swans, but Grundy was good for Supercoach. Tommy Mitchell emerged after quarter time, and even though he was tagged, JPK also solid. And Sinclair, after Tippett went down, was pretty good too.
Yeah, no, I thought those Swans players were all right. Yeah, Green was fine because he wasn't giving away 8 free kicks as usual.
And kicked a few.
And kicked, well, yeah, but he always kicks a few.
Yeah.
Caniglio, Ward, Stevie J, and Ryan Griffin in his first game after a long layoff.
Yeah, we were a bit worried about Caniglio and how he would go with Ryan Griffin back, but it seemed they moved Caniglio onto the wing and still played a bit of a loose tag, but still scored quite well.
Yeah, it was and Jack Steele was the guy to cop the break. But they're talking about Stevie J taking a bit of a break.
Yeah, he copped a bit of a foot injury in the game, so going to miss maybe this week. And I think they've got the bye the second week, so a couple of weeks break.
Yeah, but I guess that would explain why he's been. I mean, they've got Essendon this week, and then
the bye.
No, they got the bye in the third week. Essendon and then Carlton. So maybe they take Essendon off. But he's been down for about a month.
Yeah, so. They scored pretty well against the Swans on the weekend.
Yeah.
But probably needs a break being an old man.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And I thought Parker, Franklin and Jack were pretty quiet for the Swans.
Yeah, I had those guys as well. Parker really was actually fine until halftime and then just...
disappeared.
Yeah. Yep, basically. And they tried to get Buddy into the game, but it just didn't happen.
Oh, how good was... Phil Davis playing him, just absolutely shut him down. And they did a good team defence, actually, on Buddy.
Yeah, because there was a bit of a Patful as well, so...
Oh, one guy... Patful as well. One guy I wanted to give mention to was Rose for Sydney. I thought he was pretty good, too.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, and in the game today... As we all know, the D's absolutely destroyed the Pies. Bernie Vince loves playing the Magpies. Again, probably another three Brownlow votes coming his way. Big Maxi Gorn kicked about three or four goals. Dom Tyson, Nate Jones, and as we said last week on the Thursday show, the small forwards in Kent and Kennedy bobbed up and did pretty well against the Pies with Vonnie and Hogan as well.
Yeah, so playing the Daily Fantasy, I got Bernie Vince, thank you. Well done. but also, James Kent. And, Hogan, I'm not a real... I don't know. Hogan, fine, whatever. You got your three goals, but...
He was solid.
He got me some money, so I'm not too disappointed, but I'm not a big... I think Jesse Hogan's overrated, to be honest.
Took a couple of good pack marks. I thought he took some really good marks.
Ben Cannon. Yeah, also throw Grundy a little bit of love for Collingwood. I thought he might have suffered with wits. But I thought Grundy was fine.
Oh, Grundy was fine. And obviously, Captain Pendle's just.
Whatever. That was a stock stand for Pendles. I'll give you nothing.
You're a hard man, Steve. You're a hard man. But I'm going to throw Howe, Treloar, and Sidey, even though he was tagged out of the game. Sidey?
Yeah, I kind of think Howe maybe he's playing a bit under duress, and also based on where you got him in the draft or off free agency, it's not like you should be banking 100 points from him.
No, but he has been pretty good since he's come into the side.
He's been fantastic, but I just don't think you should exactly expect 100 points.
Okay. And Treloar just went missing today. Hardly saw him.
Yeah, it wasn't a good day for Collingwood all around.
No, that's true. Well beaten. But moving on now to... let's go with our waiver wire pickups for tonight. I just mentioned him a few minutes ago, and that's James Rose from Sydney Swans. And then 16% of teams as a forward. He's had a couple of... He's only played the two games, and he's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we saw Papley do so well for Sydney earlier in the year in that small forward role. Ben McGlynn's basically pus these days. Rose has got some interest, especially, against Melbourne. I think, you'd have to expect Sydney to take care of Melbourne at the SAG. They take care of most people up there.
Yeah, and he'll be also a very good pickup in salary cap formats as well.
Well, yeah. Probably. I don't know. Do we play salary cap?
For laughs and a good time, Steve. Because we can't swear on this show.
Yeah, my number one pickup has got to be Callum Sinclair, man. Has to be Callum Sinclair. If you're in a ruck where there's two rucks, if you're in a league, pardon me, where there's two rucks, he's probably off waivers. But if you're in a one ruck league, I reckon he might be there. Well, his value has just gone through the roof with Tip It Out for a month and a half, let's say, Jono, at this stage.
Yep.
Not injured. He should score. And he's dual position. Should score, exactly. Should score 90 every week.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw, he went down, and he was struggling, but came back and scored about 85, 90. So that'd be pretty good if you can get him as a forward like that, or if you're a Steph Martin owner or something like that.
Hey, if you're the Nick Nat owner, whatever. If you're the Martin owner, if you're the Sandy owner.
Tippett owner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just go for it. Next guy I'm going to pick up, talk about, because they're playing the Bombers this week, Jeremy Cameron. Should absolutely tear him a new one this week. Playing at Etihad, so condition will be perfect. Can see him kicking a big bag this week.
Yeah, he really should be very high on people's priorities.
Especially if you're streaming that fifth forward.
Oh, absolutely. If you're streaming fifth forward, he's your number one option. Playing against Essendon. And then, I know Carlton have been a lot better this year, but we just saw Membry kick five goals on him. So I don't think, they got Carlton in round 14. So really through the bye rounds, he's a person who can win you a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely love that call, Jono. My next guy is a little bit,
Vombag?
Sorry?
Vombag.
No, it's not. No, it's not like that. But Rory Lobb.
Yep.
He hasn't been great lately. He's, you know, he played pretty well earlier in the year. But like you said, GWS are playing Essendon this week. I feel like that's a great spot for Rory Lobb. He's the sort of guy who can bob up, kick goals. He can take his share in the ruck.
Love the good contested mark too.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, dual position ruck forward. He might be someone you look to plug in this week.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy I want to talk about next, we spoke about him on the Thursday show. That was Paul Puopolo. Absolutely destroyed it against the Bombers. They're playing the Gold Coast Suns this week. If you can grab him, only in 52% of teams, so good chance you can get him. Pick him up, because he's going to probably kick you about five.
Yeah, Poppy's an interesting guy, isn't he?
Has not been sloppy.
Oh, God. That's just...
Seinfeld reference.
How about Aaron Mullett, Jono? Aaron Mullett.
Who, sorry?
In defense.
Who was that, sir?
Aaron Mullett.
Aaron Mullett. Interesting one.
Yeah, he got back into the north side this week. They were playing the Cats, so it didn't feel like a great matchup. But he is a pretty good user of the ball. They're playing Hawthorn this week, which maybe isn't great for them. I don't know.
Wait, is Hawthorn playing North Melbourne this week?
Yeah, Hawthorn's playing North this week, and North got it again.
But why did I say Poppy's playing Gold Coast?
I don't know.
Looking at the wrong week, then.
Well, Gold Coast have got a bye, so I'm...
So they're not playing. Yeah. I must have been looking the wrong week then.
Yeah. So to me, it feels like Aaron Mullett against Hawthorn. Hawthorn can kind of let people find the ball because Hawthorn is so efficient. So if Aaron Mullett can hold his spot, he's a guy I'm interested in this week. And he has gone big before.
Yeah. Another defender I want to talk about is Daniel Howe. Spoke about him in the preseason, only in 36% of teams. Could be a pretty good option, especially in these bye weeks, as a fifth defender. Not going to go terribly big, but doesn't go terribly small either. So, got a good consistent base for him there. So, I don't mind Daniel Howe.
Yeah, it's an interesting guy. How about Jack Trengove?
Love it.
Yeah, Jack Trengove, you got to love the work rate on top of it. You know, he only had the 13 touches, did have a goal, but 9 tackles.
Love it. Yeah, he's always been known as that tackling machine, but love Jack Trengove, especially again in your salary cap games. Get on board.
Yeah, they're playing Melbourne this week, so it's going to be a very contested game. I'd expect a lot of tackles. So I got no issues jumping on board with Jack Trengove if you needed some bench cover or even during the bye round, some on-field, whatever, midfielder.
And the last guy I've got, I know they got the bye this week, with St Kilda having the bye, but if you can stash him on your bench, Tim Membry, just been killing it the last few weeks. So get on board.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Maybe. I mean, they got the Gold Coast in the 15th round. I was going to say Braden Maynard, but they got the bye this week. Obviously, I've been pretty into Braden Maynard. I think he's handy. But Jamie Cripps, man. West Coast are playing Brisbane this week. I think they're going to tear him a new one. We just saw Ballantyne go up there and kick a bag of goals. I think Jamie Cripps is someone you generally find on waiver. And hey, Jono, we've streamed him with success a couple of times this year.
Yes, we have.
So I feel like Jamie Cripps is someone you can just definitely find on... Yeah, I mean, you might not even have to waiver for him. You just pick him up and play him.
Free agency, that's right. Yeah, you look at all the small Freo players we spoke about like earlier, you know, with Maine. I know Tabner's key forward, Ballantyne. They all had a day out against Brisbane over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think West Coast are going to just absolutely shred. So I'm certainly looking to utilize that to my team's advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all the waiver wire pickups from me. Steve, you got anyone else?
No, that's That's all. Yeah, I did mention as a streaming option, maybe Tabana. It gets Port Adelaide, but
risky.
Yeah, you know, it's not a great way. I mean, obviously, we're into the bye round, so there's less streaming options. So we've already spoken about, you know, your Sinclairs, your Camerons, your Jamie Cripps, maybe Jack Darling's on your wire somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not sure it's a great week for all those sort of guys. Oh, and Rory Lobb as well. But yeah, I feel okay with that. It's tough to do deals and do ad drops in the buy rounds, isn't it, Jono?
It certainly is. This way, your waiver wire pickups, if you're streaming or whatnot, are so vital to get those extra points and hopefully that win, which certainly be looking at this week, maybe, because I've still got Chris Mayne after that awesome 112, might hold on to him against Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and that's a reasonable thought process. Of it's hard to let go of someone who just scored you well, isn't it?
Might put him up on the trade there to see what you can get for him.
Yeah. Also, you know, using your waiver priority to, if you're number one waiver, maybe number two, if you drop someone you've got who you can then pick up and play an extra player in the buyers, we don't know. These are strategies we talk about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of trade targets, starting off this week, offer anything to Kurt Tippett owners, depending on how you are in your leagues. Those Kurt Tippett owners could be getting a bit itchy on that trade button or drop button, but if you're good in your league, make an offer to him if you can stash him on your bench for a few weeks.
That's obviously you speaking as a Tippett owner. I'll put it this way, if Tippett and Nick Natanui are missing the same amount of time, who would you prefer?
Tippett.
Maybe in Dream Team scoring leagues. I prefer Nick Nat in scoring, in Supercoach scoring leagues.
Only reason I'm picking Tippett is because I just don't like Achilles injuries, because it's basically your weight-bearing injury and harder to come back from.
But what I'm saying is the people, we're talking about the people who are going out to buy him.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to buy Tippett right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, I mean, I might be interested in floating a lowball offer to the Knicknat owner in a Supercoach league, but
yeah.
How about throwing an offer at the Lysette owner?
Yeah, I do like it. All depends on how cluey that owner is.
Yeah, I think it's something you could do, to be honest.
If you get in tonight or even tomorrow morning before the news is really broken, you could probably get him at a steal.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is Lysette's been fantastic. Although this week he was poor. And we know short-term memory is a thing for fantasy coaches. So,
what was it, about 40s or something this week? So,
yeah, it was in the 40s. So,
38 in Supercoach, because I'm looking at his score right now.
Yeah, I think he was 40 in Dream Team scoring. 40 in Dream Team-based scoring. I'll just verify that right now. 40, exactly.
Yeah, so 38, 40.
So, again, what do you think of floating an offer for Motlop? It's been four really bad weeks. Mental looks like missing matches. They're sending him away for scans.
Yeah, and the AFL is going to talk to Mental about that and what they think about that AstroTurf there, and which is not good because he's been pretty good since he's come back.
Mate, he was fantastic on the weekend.
So, Motlop for Lysette. If you can get the deal done, I'd be doing it.
No, but what I'm saying is, I mean, would you float an offer to the Motlop owner? To try getting Motlop?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is a buy low price. He's been poor for a month.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so do you have any other trade targets, Jono?
As his owner, possibly about floating Coniglio. Again, with Ryan Griffin coming back in. Didn't really affect his score this week, but you know what? We've seen it before. Role changes happen. Coniglio could just get back out on that wing and not touch the ball, not get to those centre bounces where he was laying the tackles, tagging the number one player for the opposition. So at this moment, I'm wary as a Coniglio owner.
Yeah, you had a decent offer floated at you last week.
Yeah, and it would have lost me the match.
Well, you know, things happen.
So it's just it's one to keep an eye on if you're a Coniglio owner or you want to get him, possibly.
I think, I'd be a bit more bullish about Coniglio than you. Sam Mitchell.
Ugh.
I think Sam Mitchell is a fantastic trade target right now.
He's missing his old mate Hodgie, I think.
Well, he's just missing. He's just missing. That's the thing. He's missing.
Oh, he's missing. But he's due to Hodgie not being there, I think.
No, I don't think that matters at all. I think he's been missing. He's been injured. He's been tagged. His value is as low as it will ever be. I would certainly be floating an offer to the Mitchell owner. I tried last week. I got rejected, but I'll probably try again, to be honest.
Absolutely, why not? Because you can probably get him at probably unders at the moment.
This is the cheapest you'll get him. Unfortunately for me, in our league of record, the Sam Mitchell owner is a Hawthorn supporter, so I might be pushing the proverbial uphill. But
Hey, I remember last year you got Buddy Franklin and they were also a Hawthorn supporter even though they love Buddy and he plays at Sydney.
Yeah, well, how did that work out for me?
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
Because he came last.
Well, and he, you know, he missed half the year as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He had his mental health issues as well.
So, trades can go bad, Jono. Trades can certainly go bad.
Can. Certainly can. But, not too many trade targets for me this week.
Yeah, no, my trade targets are down. And, in fact, all the people who are reading the A Dozen Deals column, which I really, really appreciate all the support. We're getting a lot of views. It's fantastic. That's if you want to talk transactions, it's adozendeals.blogspot.com.au. We talk about ad drops, buy, sells, and holds. We're going to be pulling back on the usual 12 just because the number of ad drops and buy sells you can do over the buy rounds, it's just the movement's just not there.
You're very limited over these next 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to tell you to drop player X because you might be sitting comfortably and don't need the. It's just from a strategic point of view, the moves aren't there to be made.
No, that's right. And then it makes it even a bit harder. Well, it probably might even open up with, what was it, 3 weeks after the bye round before final start? Three or four?
There's three weeks of matches before
final start.
Finals from the byes. But, hey, if you want to come to me and ask me any questions, I'm always on Twitter. You know, Jono, we're always on Facebook and Twitter. Always happy to help out. So if they're, you know, if
you've got a conundrum, put it out there and we're happy to help. And even our listeners, if also put your 2 cents in and give the most advice you can give.
Yeah, absolutely. We love everyone helping out and pitching into the community. So, but, you know, if you're enjoying the Dozen Deals and you're taking some advice and moves from there, I feel like a lot of them, like most of them are working out pretty damn well if you've been able to engineer the moves. But
yeah, that's right.
If you feel like if we're not giving you the advice you need, then certainly just hit us up on the Twitter or the Facebook, Jono. Or email,
yeah. If you do want to hit us up on Twitter, we are at The Draft Doctors on Twitter, or head over to facebook.com/TheDraftDoctors, hit the like button there, or hit us up on the email where we are thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Steve, was there any questions this week?
No questions, but we did run a really interesting Twitter poll. A lot of the guys in our listener league and people in general have been, and we even spoke about it last week, I think, Jono, have been asking about who have been the best draft values, you know, this far in the league, or thus far in the league, I should say.
There's been quite a few just off the top of my head. You can Sean Grigg, Lockie Undead, Coniglio. There's a few off the top of my head.
Well, we'll run through them. I broke down 16 of the best values that I thought into four separate heats, and we're going to take the winner of each heat, These are all running at the moment, by the way. So if you want to vote, please hop on Twitter and vote. And we're going to take the winner of each heat and put them into the final, and we'll determine the best value is judged by you.
Fantasy deathmatch. Love it.
So, Jono, in heat one, we got Jasper Pittard. Draft, and we're using the Ultimate Footy ADPs, okay? Because Ultimate Footy, they're fantastic. They provide all the ADPs and all the statistics on draft. We think they're a fantastic site, so good work, Ultimate Footy. Jasper Pittard was 177. Dane Zorko was 65. Lockie Hunter was 163. And Jared Waite was 223.
I've got to say, Pittard's got to be winning that one.
Well, I would have
said Waite earlier, but now Pittard's gone ahead.
Yeah, I would have thought Pittard, but Lockie Hunter is the clear leader at the moment. So 17 hours left in these votes, but Lockie Hunter is doing it pretty easy at the moment.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he's been fantastic. Heat 2, we got Michael Walters at draft position 174, Shane Savage at 214, the defender. Sam Doherty at 89, also the defender, but just so good. And Zach Merritt, who is one of the best averages in Dream Team based scoring and very good in Supercoach as well. It's a draft position 67.
Ooh, I like Doherty. I know, we know he's been a good player, but he's just taken to another level this year for me. Gone to elite for me.
Yeah, Doherty is currently the winner there. So, and next in Heat 3, this is our really tight. I really couldn't predict the winner. It's certainly very, very tight. We got Nick Riewoldt at draft position 74. We got Zach Williams from GWS, the defender, at 224. We got Ed Curnow, one of your guys, being fantastic at 196. But we got Seb Ross from St Kilda at 236, who's been probably a little bit down in Supercoach, but fantastic in Dream Team. So, really tight one there, John. Who do you think?
Yeah, make it a bit harder next time, mate. You know, man, I love my defenders. I can't go past Zach Williams. I just think he's been fantastic in both formats, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I can't call that one right now. It's going to be very, very tight, but geez. But
I love all four of them, to be perfectly honest, but yeah, if I had to pick one, I love Zach Williams at the moment. He's just been fantastic.
Look, if you got any of these guys on your draft day, you're probably smiling ear to ear, aren't you?
Especially how low they are on the 200s. I mean, they're basically your bench cover, really, you'd think.
Well, I mean,
your lottery ticket.
Seb Ross may have been undrafted.
I know Ed Curnow in our League of Records was and got him off the waiver wire.
Yeah, okay, so Heat 4. We got another one of your guys, Jono, Sean Grigg, who's been fantastic at 173. Wow.
Yep.
Scott Lysette, who's one of the top ruckmen at 214. Sam Kerridge at 163. Who's been great as well.
Absolutely. I'm just sitting here dumbfounded.
This is probably the biggest winner so far based on the polls. Tom Scully at 192.
Yeah, I can't go past Tom Scully. We love him here on the Draft Doctors, having an outstanding season and come out over the weekend and said he wants to continue playing at the GWS, which is fantastic news for them.
Yeah, this is one where actually I had to vote for Lysette. I feel like as a ruck forward, like especially based on the injuries we've just had this round.
Good point.
Oh, well, anyway, it's hey, we're here for the people. We love hearing what you guys, the listeners, have got to what you got to say. And we're certainly on board with Tom Scully, man. If you got him in your draft, you're pretty happy, aren't you? Tom Scully, Sam Doherty, Seb Ross,
oh, absolutely,
and Lockie Hunter. Oh man, he didn't spend anything more than a ninth round pick. Oof.
Yeah, you're moon dancing up your hallway and punching her at the same time with that one, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll run a poll during the week and we'll announce it on the Thursday show who everyone thinks the best value from the draft was to this point. And then next week we'll do the biggest busts.
Ooh. We have brackets like the Final Four on the college basketball.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that.
Love it. Love it. But that just wraps up the show for this week. If you do want to ask us any questions, do head over to follow us on social media where we are at The Draft Doctors on Twitter, or head over to facebook.com/TheDraftDoctors, or do drop us an email at thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. And we will see you on Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to throw a shout out to all the listeners, everyone checking in on the show. Really appreciate all your support throughout the year. It really gives me and Jono a big boost seeing all the download numbers. Would you agree, Jono?
Absolutely. And yeah, please do continue to drop a review. We love reading out all your comments and feedback on that you've left us on all formats. So please continue to do that, because we do love reading them out to give you guys a bit of a boost as well.
All right. Cheers, guys.
All right. See you Thursday. Bye.